This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Yes. We have our next interview in the studio with us. So we have Joseph Zbuv.
Zbukovic.
Okay, I should have checked the name. Joseph, welcome to the show. And we like to have a bit of a chat about, your background. We start off by telling us a little bit about how you got started in the arts, and I suppose how you got to where you are now. So, yes. Where did your love for arts come from?
Yeah, I always answer that by saying that it chooses you. You don't choose it. I think it was just always there from the moment I recall myself. I looked at the world and saw things, beautiful things, when I was a small child. And I guess my first moment was when I was about four. I did some family portraits on a winter evening, just drawing. Everyone was entertaining themselves sitting around the kitchen table. And it caused pandemonium. Apparently, they looked like the people I was drawing. I wish I had them, but I don't have them anymore.
Oh, what a shame. Yes. And so they were so impressed with you that they thought, this boy's got talent.
It sort of gave birth to this identity that I've got, and that is that from then on, you know, anyone who visited the house, they said, sit down, this kid will draw you. And I became an entity. I was longer just a little kid under the kitchen table sort of thing. So from there, it obviously grew, was recognised in high school and so on. I won't bore you with that. But that was all back in Croatia. And I do remember buying paints when my mates were buying cigarettes or, you know, hanging around picture theatres. I was using up my money to buy brushes and stuff and going out painting. And then in 1970, my family decided to emigrate to Australia. And part of the bribe was for me to be able to do an arts course because I couldn't get into one over there.
Right.
We didn't have enough money to bribe the dean or whoever it was meant to be bribed.
And was it part of the Soviet Union then?
It was communism.
Right.
They were under Tito, and he was very clever. He used the West and the East. So he kind of played the game.
Okay.
Very cleverly, until he died, of course, and then it all fell apart. But yes, it was communism, and I hated it. It wasn't fun. It was not fun at all. To this day, I hate being part of big groups. I think this profession suits me beautifully, just being by myself.
Yeah.
You know, anything where you have to sort of go hoorah, you know, all for one for all. I'm no good with that.
So what was it like when you coming from Europe, which, you know, culture is in abundance to Australia, but what did you say in the 70s? Was it 70s?
Yes.
Which would have been
1970. It's actually now coming up to 50 years next year, and I'll have a little visit back home because of that. Well, I can tell you this, that on a first Sunday, I dressed up. I had, the fashion then was, I don't know, you don't recall it maybe, the wet look vinyl stuff. It looked very glossy.
Yep.
Vinyl. I had a full suit.
Right.
In burgundy.
Yep.
And shoes matching. And I had long hair and I went walking around Geelong looking for promenade, because in Europe that's what you do on a Sunday afternoon.
Yep.
You go promenading. Well, very shortly, police car pulled up and they took me home. And they explained to me that there was a sport of, I can use that word, puff bashing, in those days was prominent, and they mistook me for one of those.
Right, okay.
How lovely, though. I don't mind. As I said, my daughter is gay.
But how nice that the police
that was excellent.
You home,
and actually, I made friends with a sergeant when we were driving, and he'd pull me up when I was driving later quite often and just ask how I was going and how I was settling in.
Yep.
No, there's nice people.
Yep.
To this day, if I see immigrants or whatever, I say hello to them and whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing.
So did you get into art school?
Yes, I went to Gordon Institute, which then became Deakin University.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked into fine art, but 1970 was a time where they literally rode bicycles over canvases, threw rocks at them, and it was totally non-figurative stuff, which I wasn't interested in. So I decided to do industrial design. Industrial design is, I love cars. I have an old classic car. So my idea was that I was going to design cars, but during that course I discovered watercolour and the rest is history.
Right, okay. Yeah. What is it about watercolour that you love still to this day?
Look, I'll compare it to probably sculpture would be the closest if you're cutting.
Oh, okay. I would have never thought watercolour and sculpture.
Well, if you're not careful how you chisel that marble, you'll break the arm off and that will be the end of it. Yeah. You know, you can't glue it back on. Maybe you can. I don't think so. So it's one of those mediums that you really need to take great care how you use it and have intimate knowledge of it. You can't just sort of, unless you're doing abstract, just splashing stuff. But if you're doing traditional figurative art, you really do need to understand it. It takes a long time to sort of really get good command of it.
Mm.
The other thing, which is totally different to any other medium, it's alive. It still keeps working once you put it on a paper. So if you lay on what we call a wash and angle the board, the pigment will move on it and create its own effects and things. I don't think anything else does that. You literally have to, oil painting, you have to physically cover everything. That nothing will happen by itself.
Yeah.
So every square centimetre of oil painting is laboured on, where I can do a big sky in seconds.
Mm. But what about overlaying? Yeah, like, is it easy with
yes, it's allowed to. There are media. There are people who will paint over and over and do this perfection type of thing. I'm not one of them. I feel about three goes is all you have. Is first go, second, if you must, a third time. But
and do you have to wait for it to dry each time?
Depends on what sort of edge you want.
Yep.
If you want a soft edge, then you go in wet and it just spreads around. And then there's this magic time in between as it's drying, before it's dry. It's sort of damp, moist, and then you can play with it like oil paint a bit.
Yeah, it's that fine line, as you said. So what you might be aiming for, you might lose the
you
whole
You have
paint.
To run with it. Yep. You kind of have this dance. You allow it to do what it wants, but you've got to control it as well, otherwise you end up with a mess.
Yeah.
So
would weather play a big part in it as
well? Oh, yes. Now is a great time coming to paint. You know, you want some moisture in the air, you want cool weather. In summer, it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
By the time your brush reaches the other end of the paper, it's the beginning is dry.
Yeah.
It's not good for watercolour, the heat. Yeah.
And you've been painting today on the street.
Yes.
And do you do that very often?
Just about certainly once a week or something.
Okay.
And I travel the world, and when I'm there, like we were just in Venice for 3 weeks, and I painted every day. Yeah, I'm very fortunate. I've got away with this for 40 years. I get up and I do what I love doing, and people pay me for it. And my latest discovery is China. I have been traveling to China a lot lately, and that's the new market.
Absolutely.
And the new world, and they adore watercolour. They invented it, and I'm considered one of the masters there.
Okay.
I'm highly sought after.
So do you actually do your own exhibitions in, say, China?
Yes.
Right.
I'm currently gathering some work. I'll be in a gallery in Handan, which is not far from Beijing, and the gallery is 9,000 square metres.
Whoa.
Luckily, I only get to cover 3,000, but it's a nightmare.
So how big do you paint? You know, obviously, what you're painting on the street isn't huge.
Yes.
Do you go super large?
I have done big paintings. There's a large piece at the Port Authority up in Collins Street, and that was 3.5 metres by 2 metres, which is quite big for watercolour.
Yeah.
But mainly I work, you know, what I call underarm work.
Yep.
And it's very suitable for watercolour. Anything bigger, you do it in a studio and you've got to psych yourself up to it, and it's a nightmare.
Yeah. This exhibition that you're part of, and it's not a solo exhibition.
No.
It's called Masters of Watercolour.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
Look, it's a show being held up in the Age Building at the end of Collins Street there near the railway station. Unfortunately, it's only open during the week. It's not open weekends. During the week from 7 till 7. all
and
day.
And it's in a mezzanine floor.
Yes, like a foyer.
Yeah.
There is a cafe, and then there is a small set of stairs you climb up, and that's where the paintings are. So if you're about town, go and have a bit of lunch there and pop in. Mm. It's a beautifully hung show and great variety of work. I know some of the artists personally, others I don't.
Well, why did you say yes to being part of this exhibition?
The lady running it, Jacqueline, is...
she's awesome.
She's a wonderful lady and runs a great show, and she's involved in the refugee exhibition for the Archibald, and I've been in that a few times.
Okay.
And one time it was held in this space, and I was very impressed the way it was curated. So I thought it would be good, but I had a bit of a look who was going to be in it, you know, so, and all the artists are good, all colleagues and equal level. So it's a good show, professional exhibition.
How many pieces do you have?
I have only got four, and most people have only got four or five. Yep. Mine are all of Melbourne. I've got three of Melbourne and one of Yarra Valley.
Right.
Yes.
And what inspires you? You know, like when you're painting, say, Melbourne, and you call Melbourne home, this is your home.
Yes, I do.
What inspires you about this city with painting?
It does get that lovely misty atmosphere, which you really need to get that lovely recession and soft edges. So that's good. It does still have, not many, but it's still got lots of old buildings, lovely old buildings and things, which I enjoy painting. So and it's probably the most European city of all of the Australian cities, I think.
Yeah.
Brisbane has a few old buildings, but it's too hot there.
Yeah.
Sydney... It's got the harbour, but that's about it.
Yeah.
You know, Melbourne offers a bit of everything.
Yeah. So it's mostly older buildings that you paint?
Yes, but the other advantage of Melbourne is, honestly, in half an hour I can be in Yarra Glen in 45 minutes painting beautiful landscape. Or if I go up to Kangaroo Ground, I can be there in 25 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's spectacular countryside. Yeah. Or you can go down to the beach or go to Williamstown, do some boats. So it offers amazing variety of subjects. It's very good for that.
And is there one particular, you know, like a landscape or buildings that you prefer?
I probably love painting cityscapes like the one I did today a lot, but I have these runs, you know, and then when I get tired of that, I'll drive off to Yarra Valley or Warburton and do a bit of painting there. And when I get sick of that, I'll go to Williamstown and do some boats. But I also love painting horses. So I go to a lot of country meets, to Kyneton, Yarra Glen.
Because the art of painting a horse, as a viewer, you know, because I can't paint to save myself, even a straight line if I'm painting a wall.
I can't do a straight line.
I'm always infatuated by how well people and the movement of a horse, you know, like so beautiful to see it in a painting.
Yes, there's two schools of horse art, equine art. There's the school of those very stiff, perfect portraits, which is not what I do. I capture them, as you say, in movement. And there is an art to it. If you paint them as they are, exactly as they are, kind of freeze them, copy the photo, let's say, that they look dead, they look weird, their legs look as if they're broken. They're just, because we never really see them still because they're always moving.
Mm-hmm.
So you leave the legs blurry or kind of just indicated, just floating through the space. And there's angles you have to change. It's quite an interesting exercise. I had a big exhibition of it a few years ago and I spent 2 years doing it. And when I looked at the early pieces, I was being very literal, and that just didn't look right. They were actually correct anatomically, but they didn't look right. It's an interesting thing. Mm. So you actually have to change them to make them look right.
Mm. So do you do exhibitions on just horses alone?
I have had a couple, but now I tend to sort of offer a plethora of subjects. So there'll be part of the exhibition, there'll be a few horse paintings, a few city paintings, a few seascapes, etc.
And going into China, doing this exhibition, and congratulations on that. What are you focusing in a situation like China, where are you thinking of them and their local landscape?
I read a phrase somewhere, stay true to overcome. You have to stay yourself. You're just got to do it because they love my work for what it is.
Yep.
So for me to now start changing it is silly.
Yeah.
And because travel in China is very difficult to like, I met an official and he boasted he'd been to Paris because they allowed one trip a year and they have to really explain why and where, especially if they are working for government.
Yep.
So they love paintings of Paris, Venice, okay. Rome, whatever. They yeah. absolutely love them, or anything, Melbourne, whatever. And believe it or not, they absolutely love Australian landscape. If you put in a couple of cows and some paddocks, they just love it because they don't have it.
Of course.
They don't yeah. have it. Everything is just
yep.
jam-packed yep. with people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Sounds fantastic. What a wonderful life you lead.
It is pretty amazing. I sort of pinch myself sometimes. I've got away with it now for 40 years.
Because you're like, you are lucky because not many painters can live as a painter.
I agree with you there. I have just simply been fortunate. I'd hate to start out now. I established myself in the late 70s, early 80s. And it was truly money for hay in those days. I can tell you that I had a gallery in Flinders Street and people came the day before and queued up
wow.
for the opening and slept wow. in their cars in front of the gallery. They were given tickets. I wish those days would come back, but they don't. Now it's a bit different.
Yeah.
The market is very poor.
Yeah.
We're going through this amazing society change in Australia, and I think in all of the West, the young lions, the young IT kids that have got money and so on, they're not interested in traditional art. It's to do with education. Also, their parents had a traditional art, so because their parents had it, they don't want it. And the other thing is they decorate minimal style. They'll just have one white couch, one statue, maybe one big painting, but up and coming.
Gosh, you haven't been to my place.
You should see mine. You can't get in.
But that will turn around.
It's yeah, actually coming level. Already. A friend of mine, Herman Pickle, he actually is part of the exhibition, mentioned that National Gallery is starting to exhibit smaller works in groups. They're starting to block them together.
The Escher exhibition.
Yes, you know, exactly.
Like, it's astounding to do an exhibition on
yes,
his work.
Yes, so it always swings around. Yep. It always swings around. Yep. They'll soon get sick of sitting on a white couch in an empty yep. room. It's not very comfortable. Yeah.
Now, one thing I've got to ask you, were saying as a four-year-old, doing the portraits.
Yes.
Do you do any at all anymore? It sounds as if you don't.
I'm not big on portraits anymore, no. I've done some of my daughters, done a self-portrait. It's not my thing. I don't get that much fun out of it. And the market for them is very limited.
Yes.
It's yeah. truly just commissions,
yep.
and you've got to get yourself established.
Yep.
Where I can go for a drive to Yarra Valley and do a nice landscape,
yep.
and yep. I'll find a buyer for it.
All right, sounds good. So you're part of this exhibition, just four.
Yes.
How can we find out more about you? Have you got all the social media?
Yes. It's all out there.
Yep.
It's all out there, Facebook and so on. And Jacqueline is doing a great job of putting media releases out and so on. But honestly, you can just simply Google up my name.
How do you spell your surname for the our listeners? It's Joseph, and
yes,
your surname is
Z.
Yep.
B, U K V I C. So it's that ZB. But if they just go Joseph, as soon as they put in a Z, there'll be pages will come up
okay,
if they
okay.
start to Google
right,
me.
Right, brilliant. Because I think people need to see your work.
So. Yes.
And it's called Masters of
Watercolours. Yes.
And it's at Media House Gallery, which is part of the Age Building.
That's
the
right.
The mezzanine.
Indeed, yep. indeed.
Thank you for coming in.
I enjoyed it. Thank you.
And can't wait to see your next exhibition, which we won't because it's in China.
Why not? Come over.
Come over.
All right. Thanks very much, Dave.
Thanks so much, Joseph. You're here on Joy 94.9 Sunday Arts Magazine.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.